If you want your children back, you can claim them after church. If you don't claim them after church, we're going to put them to work someplace, okay? You know, this is really my favorite part of the service. It really is, and I'm a little prejudiced because I get to share the Word of God with you. And to me, that is what my whole life is about, is sharing the Word of God with folks. This morning, you're going to hear a lot more of it than you don't want to necessarily hear me speak. You want to hear God speak. I hope that's why you came this morning. I hope you came to hear God speak to your heart this morning. And this morning, there's going to be a little more scripture than usual because the scripture speaks so well that no man can duplicate it, no man can equivocate it. And so I want the scripture to speak to your hearts, and I want the scripture to speak to your minds, and I want the scripture to change your life. It changes mine, and it changes week by week. I hope each one of you are getting a little closer to the Lord. That is my prayer for every one of you every day, is first of all, the Lord will give you safety throughout the day, and then that He will draw you closer each day to Him. Just, we have an awfully great privilege to walk with the Lord and to be with Him. We started off, we're working off one verse, and you're gonna get it all memorized. You probably already have it memorized. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. All things. And that covers everything in life. And yet, last week we looked at time, how to organize our time and how to have our time, you know, to be used appropriately. And then this week we're going to look at God, our relationship to God, to having a relationship that is appropriate for God. We have to remember who He is. He's not just somebody who lives in the neighborhood. We're talking about the God of the universe. He doesn't live here. He lives in heaven. But one day, if you love Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to live in heaven with Him. And I hope you're looking forward to that day. I hope you are. And I hope by the time we get through this and this morning that you will have a greater feeling and a greater desire to be close to Him. I'm going to start off with a question. You know, I like questions. Who is God? Who is God? Have you ever asked yourself that? Who is God? Now, you folks may not have experienced this, but I have. I go across the street occasionally, and as I get across the street, some of the preschoolers have first of all called me God, and then they have called me Jesus. And, you know, I have to tell them I'm neither one. I don't look like God. I don't sound like God. I don't have the power God has. But yet, that really makes me wonder and think, what are they being taught that somebody like me could be their God? What a weak God. What an awful God. And that prompted the question, who is God? How would I tell somebody, how would you tell somebody who God is? I wonder how I could be some child's idea of God. Pretty sad. Something is missing somewhere. You know, we can and we do read about God in the Bible, and then it's why we come here on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. But what do we really know about God experientially? What have you experienced about God? Because you see, he is there for you and I to experience. Not just know about. If you just know about God, you've missed the boat. God is there for you to experience. And that's why he's there. And that experience has to start with Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at what we know about God and how we have acquired that knowledge. Because each one of us sitting here this morning in some way knows of or knows about God. And so for our jumping off scripture this morning, turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, we use these verses that we're going to look at in different ways, but this is how I want to start us understanding who God is and what our relationship to him is. Romans 1, verses 18 and 19 tells us this: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." What this is saying that is that every single human being born into this world has a knowledge of God. It's in the heart. It's in that soul. God has given it to us, a knowledge of God. You're born with it. Everyone is. There's not an exception. The mongoloid child, the Down syndrome child, every single child born has a knowledge of God. And every single child aborted has that same knowledge. Because God says so. He says he has given it to them. He gives it to us with our soul. When he gives, that unborn child in the womb has a soul. And that soul has a knowledge of who God is and what God expects. Now, we may not know what he looks like because he is a spirit. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. But we know that he's there, wherever there is. We all know that. We start off with that knowledge, but we don't retain it. And that's where the problem begins. That's why we meet together here, and that's why somebody told you about Jesus Christ, is because we don't retain that knowledge. So let's go on and look at this a little bit more. When a child is born, that child is born without sin. It has a sin nature, but it hasn't had a chance to sin yet. What can a baby do? Yet, as that baby gets older, that baby begins to exercise its will. And even though there's a knowledge of God, that baby begins to sin. And when it sins, there is a verse in Ezekiel that says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And that soul dies. And that soul keeps adding sin and adding sin and adding sin. Some of you did the same thing. Well, all of you did. I did. Until it comes to a point where I can't communicate with God because my heart is so full of sin and my soul is so burdened down by sin, covered with sin, that I can't communicate with him. Because God can't abide sin. And I have to do something about that. You had to do something about that. And somebody, somewhere, told you about Jesus Christ. We have missionaries all over the world right now. They are out there telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do for them. And somebody told you. And they showed you in the Bible, because without God's word, you can't get saved. You got to have his word. There's nothing else to tell you in nature that you need to be saved. Oh, you can tell there's a God because you look at the sunset or the sunrise and you see the beauty of nature and of the world around you, but that doesn't tell you how to get saved. That just tells you there is a God. That makes you accountable. And so then we get to Romans 1, 20 and 21. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, when they were born, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And people, that is where every one of us were at one time. There is not an exception. Every one of us had a darkened heart, and we did not know who God was. We knew he was there, but we didn't know much about him. So what we're looking at is the soul in transition from purity at birth to sin-stained by the world around it. And every one of us this morning has a soul. And that soul's in one condition or another. For a few children, they grew up with parents who loved God and knew Jesus, and those parents would teach them at a very early age about Jesus and what they needed to do and teach them about sin, and they become under conviction. Nobody ever did that to me. I was over 20 years old when I was saved. And it took that long for God to get through to me. But there are a few children that acknowledge who God is. And they realize, they have an understanding that God holds them responsible for what they do. That's one of our big problems today, is that even adults are not responsible for what they do. They don't want to claim responsibility. They want to blame somebody else. Guys, that's what a wife is for. Blame her for what doesn't go right. And wives, that's just your luck. Okay. Now, we can't blame anybody else. It's our soul. And at some point, we have to acknowledge that our soul is filthy. All our righteousness are as filthy rags, the Bible says. And it's talking about filthy rags. It's not talking about a shop cloth. I'm so glad that the God that I finally learned about did not want a single soul to perish. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Somewhere in the eons of history, God sought to redeem us. He sought to redeem us from the sin which had captivated us and the sin which had covered our souls. And God made a promise. He made the promise to the whole creation. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And folks, that's coming one day. We study about that on Sunday nights right now. While we're studying the book of Revelation, we're building up to that in the book of Revelation. God promised the creation that one day he would redeem it. He promised you and I the same thing. And he has kept his promise. He did redeem us. He sent his son to die for our sins. Most famous verse in the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, he didn't do that just to become famous. Verse 17 tells us, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's why we meet this morning. That's why we just took up an offering, is so that we can get that message out to the world. And in the next month, as people move in, they will be getting a card from Coastal Shores Baptist Church telling them about the church and inviting them to join us. We need to fill up all of these seats. And in case you worry about it, don't lay awake at night thinking, what happens when we run out of chairs? We have more chairs. And we'll put them out. We've got to fill these up first. And that's the challenge that you and I have this morning, is to fill these. You say, well, I'm not a member there. That's not what I'm saying. Fill the chair. Let somebody else hear the gospel. Let someone else have a chance to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and to trust him to save them. Now, I don't know if you've noticed yet or not, we're talking about God and an appropriate relationship. I have not said one thing about you and I doing anything. Because you see, you and I don't do it. It's because God loves you. He does it all. He wants to reach out to you. He wants your life to be joy-filled. I had a preview of the message for this morning, so I knew what direction we were going in. But when I sat at the information desk out here and I could hear down that hallway, I heard joy. You know what that told me? That told me that the Holy Spirit has indwelled some of your hearts, because he brings love, joy. And the one thing we don't seem to have around here with the ladies is peace. But there is a peace of heart that we all enjoy. But God did something. Anything that you need, God is there to give you. Anything that you need is there. God is ready to give it to you and to anybody else who might want something. It tells us in Galatians 4:4-6, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I mentioned this Wednesday night, this verse 6, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And I told the group who was here on Wednesday night, I just cannot bring myself to call God Daddy. That's what that word Abba means. And God tells us, that's what the Bible tells us, that we, if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can call God Daddy. I hadn't called my father that from the time I was just a little boy. Yet, we can call the creator of the universe Daddy. And just like you could go to your father, Daddy, I need this. Daddy, I stubbed my toe. My wife bit me. We can go to God and tell him. And he cares. That's the part I don't understand. He cares. He loves each one of us so much that he cares what happens to you. Now we've moved from sinlessness of the baby to separated from God by the sin. Now we need to understand what God has done to place us in the relationship that we are experiencing today. It started when you and I gained a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that we understood we could not approach God on our own. Romans 5:8 tells us that, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, when you were an enemy of God, he sacrificed his son for you, so that you didn't have to be an enemy anymore, so that your sin could be taken care of. Because our souls, the souls we were born with, the souls that God gave us, the soul that is going to live somewhere forever, for eternity, God gave us that. And he told us, like I said before in Ezekiel 16:4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And I don't care how sweet that little baby is. That baby becomes a sinner at the first chance it gets. And unless it accepts Jesus Christ as its Savior, it will remain a sinner. And when it leaves this life, it will not go to be with God, it will go to hell. So each of us need to know more about Jesus. Each of us need to hang on closer to what God is telling us about here in his word. John 1:1-4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made which was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And that's what we came here looking for. That's what we come to church for. We come to church looking for light, the light of God shining in our lives. The light of God shining on our souls. And you'll find it here. The light is what we were looking for. That was Jesus. And in John 1:14, it tells us, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And folks, I'm so glad for God's grace this morning, because with his grace comes mercy. And the truth of the matter is that God has got abundant grace, and he wants to pour out that grace into every one of our lives. So keep in mind that we're looking at an appropriate relationship to God, an experiential, appropriate relationship, not book learning, not book knowledge, not head knowledge. We're looking for your experience, your life with God. In Isaiah 7:14, as we learn about Jesus, and we begin to learn, when somebody shares the Bible with us, or we read the Bible, and we begin to learn things about Jesus, one of the first things we learn is out of Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Jesus was born of a virgin. The Bible tells us so. You can read about it in Luke 1. We know he lived a sin-free life and that he died for our sins. And in Hebrews 9:24-26, it says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands." He's not living in the temple made by man. He's not living in the Holy of Holies where he once existed. No, Christ is living someplace else right now. He's living in your hearts through the Holy Spirit. It tells us, nor yet, in Hebrews 9:25, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." He was the perfect Lamb, the Lamb of God. And he died for your sin. And God planned it from before the world was ever created. He loved you that much. He knew you were going to be here. He knew he was going that you were going to be conceived, that you were going to be born. And he also knew that you were going to sin. And that hurt him. But he loved you anyway. All these things we can know from a study of the Bible. But just knowing is not enough. Nikita Khrushchev had memorized the entire Gospel of John. Did you know that? He was a communist. He was a murderer. He had a head knowledge, didn't have the heart knowledge. So as we learn more about Jesus, we come to a point where we want to call on Jesus. We know that he lived a sinless life. We know that he was crucified and died. We know he was buried. And then we know, too, that 3 days after he was buried, he rose from the dead. And in just a couple of months, we're going to celebrate that event. We call it Easter, Resurrection Sunday. But Romans 10:8-10, it tells us, "But what saith us? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. It is the word of faith which we preach." That's what Paul was doing. He was going throughout Rome and all the other areas preaching the word. Verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're here this morning and you have never done that, if you have never confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have never believed that he rose from the dead, at this very moment, you're lost. But God, because he loves you, wants you to be saved. That's what we have seen in 2 Peter. And so you have a chance this morning to accept Jesus as your personal Savior by believing God raised him from the dead, by coming here to the front and confessing before all these folks. And every one of us here who knows Jesus as our Savior have done that. So you would not be doing something unusual. You would be doing something that God wants you to do. So still, as we're thinking about our relationship and an appropriate relationship with God, you and I haven't done anything. He's done it all. And that's the way it is. If you did anything to get saved, you're not saved. We can't do anything. God has to do it. So we've done absolutely nothing right now, but we're going to take what God has told us in his word. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit do the work that he does in the hearts of folks. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart. I put my hands here. I'm not talking about that organ that pumps the blood. Somewhere inside of you is what makes you you. Your personality gives you your desires, gives you your emotion. And the Bible calls that our heart. It's really our soul. And if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul has been born again and is alive. And the sin is all gone. That's what God did for you. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. And the Holy Spirit might convict you that there's something wrong in your life. And if he does, then you need to correct that. And a good place to do it is right here at the altar, right here at the front of the church. Wherever you are, when he convicts you, that's the time. That's what we talked about last week, timing. At the proper time. And the proper time is any time he convicts you. Better go to the Father and get it settled. No matter what it is. Sometimes the Lord will remind us. He does with me anyway. He will remind us that way back there somewhere, we did something to somebody. And we've never made it right. We've never asked them to forgive us. We've never told them, I love you and I'm sorry I did that. But God has convicted me. Would you forgive me? There'd be no more wars. There'd be no more family squabbles. It'd all be fixed. But every one of us have to come to that point. So again, there's nothing you and I can do. God is going to do it all. So that brings us to the point of what is an appropriate relationship with God. First of all, the relationship begins with yielding your will and my will to him. I can say this because I'm talking about myself. I have appetites. I have emotions. I have things that I would like to do. I have things that I want to do. My body wants to do. But they might not be appropriate to God. And so I need to yield my will to him. And you need to do the same thing. And sometimes that hurts. Sometimes that's hard to do. Because our wills are strong. And instead of wanting to let him control things, you and I want to control them. Because we think we know better. And I know right now, I don't know anything compared to what God knows. And God knows best, no matter what it is. Melissa shared you with the Sunday school class this morning how God intervened when she was willing to do what he wanted her to. How he intervened in her life. And what she felt like she was going to have to do, God out of love made it possible for her not to do it and still resolve the situation. When we yield our wills, folks, there is peace. There's a peace that we cannot experience in any other way but to be yielded to God. And no matter what's going on in our life, be it a terminal illness or a disaster financially, whatever is going on, God can take care of it. Excuse me. God wants each one of you to succeed. He wants you to, first of all, love the people around you and be loved by the people around you. He wants you to have joy in your heart, and he wants you to have absolute peace with him and the people around you. And so he's given you the Holy Spirit to accomplish that in your life. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. They're not going to be because they're not willing to yield their own will. But those who will, God will save. And then you know what he wants? How many people are retired here this morning? How many people are retired? No, you're not. God has a job for you. God has a job for you. And he wants you to do it. You never retire on God. He has a ceremony he performs when it's time for you to retire. You get patted in the face with a shovel. In the meantime, he's got a job for you. He wants you to tell others about Jesus. Anybody you can talk to, anybody who will listen, he wants you to tell. But before you tell him, make sure that you know Jesus yourself. So what you tell him, you will be able to explain. You do nothing. He does it all. All you have to do is ask. And he's there to do it. I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself. But I can be walking on the straight and narrow path that God has put me on. And I'm being real careful to stay on that path. And, you know, I'm looking ahead to see what might be ahead of me. And the next thing I know, I trip over something on that path, an obstacle of some sort, and I fall flat on my face. Do a face plant. You know, I'm always hoping it's not in a parking lot. Maybe, you know, on the grass or a carpeted area. And I look back to see what I've tripped over. And you know what it is? It's my own pride. It's my own pride. And so this morning, give your pride along with your will to God. And see what he can do with you, because you have a job. He has a job for you. And he wants you to perform that job. No matter where you are in life, what age, what vocation, what you like or don't like, God has a job for you. And that is to tell others about him. I want to close with a couple of verses. Think about them this week. First one is James 4:10. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's the first one. Second one is, humble yourselves. It's 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And this morning, that is my message to you. He careth for you. He wants you to have an appropriate relationship with him. Father, we are so thankful that you do love us, that you have permitted us to come to a point where someone has told us about you and told us about Jesus. And Father, may we now tell others. May we fulfill your will for us. May we do the jobs that you have put us here to do. And Father, one by one, may we fill these empty seats with people who have never heard, or people who have heard and now want to know you and have you be a part of their lives. Father, we do thank you for loving us, for saving us. Father, may we love others for you. May we tell others how to be saved. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will go ahead of us and use us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.